Well, you're gorgeous, you're wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah? Oh, okay. I just was just supposed to acknowledge the fact that you're gorgeous and wonderful. But that's okay. You can say how much you love me too. I guess it is an expression of that, of course. All right. See you out there, gorgeous. Yes, ma'am. Alright. We're out walking. Well, let me tell you, yesterday I decided that I wasn't going to, you know, I needed to preserve my blood pressure. So I was going to try diligently not to listen so much to American news and what's going on, because I get almost apoplectic, and it's not helping me at all. Anyway. They were talking this morning on the BBC, which I do get my news from, because it's a little bit separated enough from things that I don't have to get so weird about it, but that you still know what's going on in the world, which is important, I think, regardless. They were taking on the fact that the American Vice President Joe Biden is likely to take away, is likely going to be trying to do more about guns than just kind of a reinstatement of an assault ban and stuff like that, you know, for assault weapons, or automatic weapons are already illegal. Now they're getting upset about semi-automatics. It's almost like they say the only acceptable gun that you're going to have in the future is a musket. One that takes a good 2 or 3 minutes to reload while somebody with a gun that was got illegally is going to have put 300 rounds into you. I'm obviously not coming at this from a hunter's standpoint. You know, I don't care about hunting at this point because I just don't. I was thinking this morning, jabbering wildly to Lisa about the tyrant, about the great, you know, about the Antichrist, for instance, as an example of one of them. And how the current charge is a huge win for the next Hitler, you know, and trying to come up with visceral terms to frighten people. And I'm afraid that Hitler's too far in the past, that the younger generations don't really see an issue with this stuff. You know, it really doesn't bother them, because They don't think about those atrocities. Hitler didn't have a very effective machine at all. And I know that sounds weird because people at the time, the people going through it, thought he was very effective. You know, the rounding up of Jews, all that. Meticulous record keeper. We actually have, you know, there's whole branches of somewhat deviant science that were put into place by Hitler's regime, because he did unspeakable things to people and did it in so far as his people could contrive in a very scientific way. I think the Third Reich altogether is simply a harbinger for what is to come. That because that because we have much better tools of surveillance, we have so much better computers and databases to store, you know, information about everybody, and that's all available to a certain extent, and that the promises of current governments, of current leaders, are, you know, that, don't worry, although we are collecting all this information, we're going to be really careful, and we promise we aren't going to use it for anything nefarious. And that in and of itself is, I don't know what to call it, Pollyannish, I suppose. That the next government will not choose to use it bad, you know, for nefarious purposes. That, to coin a really crass term, our world today is Hitler's wet dream. He would love to have been born in this time and been able to get access to those kinds of records. You wouldn't have seen a genocide. That was a almost superstitious man attacking a rather identifiable group of people, you know, almost for political gain. You know, all the Jews are the root of all evil, you know, they destroyed Christ, therefore, you know, we can do this stuff. Think how terrible it would be, and how much quicker the fall would come if you didn't have to resort to ethnic cleansing. You could go specifically after the people and the groups collected. It's collected now. It's collected now. When we say, well, we've got this group and that group, and we collect things about them, it's already there. It's prepackaged and ready for the tyrant to come and say, we're going to round up these people and we will gas them all. Of course, we have the technology now that we don't even need gas chambers. Bullets are cheap. But I can see scientists seeing these these people as test subjects again. The next tyrant will be able to be so meticulous and so methodical, where Hitler had to imbue a lot of fear in his people through, you know, a secret police and stuff like that. It may not be necessary in our case, as the next tyrant can very well single out people who are generally disliked, and that most people won't care that they're being rounded up and they're just kind of disappearing, and you don't know exactly what's happening to them, and all of the dominoes are being set up. You know, you have those interesting mosaics laid out in dominoes. You touch one of them, and when it's all set up, just one tiny action causes this huge thing to occur. And that's what we're in the middle of. We might even be toward the end of the setting up of those dominoes. And that there most likely is a tyrant. He's most likely alive right now. May even be already working in the halls of a Congress or a parliament, helping to bring these things into the fore. And you must know that that person who will be that will be more atrocious than Hitler, and it must be worked against on every level. You know where he stands on gun control. You absolutely know where he stands on gun control. And the whole question is, are you on his side or are you opposing him? And insofar as you are on his side, it says you are in his camp. Whatever your individual motivations are, whether it's for power, whether it's because you want to protect people and you know that a strong central power can often put off an atrocity that a weak one can't, that a weak decentralized one can't. It doesn't matter what your individual motivations are and how you can spin it either to yourself or to other people to try to justify this. Since you're obviously working in the favor of the next tyrant. You are handing him the tools that he needs. You know, and that's not to say that it won't be some woman. In fact, the chances of it being a woman are probably quite excellent. We tend to trust women more. That's why I'm such a huge advocate, even though people will say, oh, bad things will happen. I'm such a huge advocate of decentralization, of devolving power down to the family level. That the family will be the ultimate authority. And you go, well, that's not very, you know, that's not very efficient. You go, trust me, the last thing we want is efficiency. The efficiency will work against us. As an elder of Israel, as a holder of the Melchizedek priesthood, I prophesy this. You go, central government will be the death of us. And it will be the power through which the tyrants will come and will do atrocities such as we have never known. And we will wish, we will someday wish for isolated incidents such as shooting up a theater, that we will wish for the occasional random school to be shot up by somebody who is mentally ill. Because there will be no escape from what comes. You are tracked. You are in a database. Your basic likes and dislikes have been collected. To the point to where a pretty accurate profile of you is readily available to anybody willing to put forth, well, hardly any effort at all to discover. And that there is no escape. There is no escape. It will begin, of course, with getting rid of undesirables. And I already know that to a large extent I'm an undesirable. I listen to the wrong things. I talk about the wrong things. I'm too vocal. And this will be, you know, I will be among the first to be rounded up and vanished as the tyrant consolidates his power. And it doesn't have to be a specific, you know. This is, trust me, Hitler didn't do this alone. Hitler assembled a group around him of people, and they did it. It was a political party. And he used that instrumentality to do most of what he did. He says, I can't think that, at the very least, the next person will do the same thing. And that it really comes down to it. Are you helping the next tyrant? Are you helping the next tyrant? And that should be the only question that's asked again and again and again. Is this action, is what you're proposing, going to put power into the hands of the next Hitler? A far more expansive, a far more information-laden Hitler, that instead of just taking random swipes and saying, well, at least I can round up all the Jews, because we know all the Europeans hate the Jews. And they did, as a group. That we won't need to do that anymore. That if you say, oh, I don't have to worry because I'm not a Jew, you have to understand that he may choose to go after people who wear cashmere. And he's going to have all the records of all the people who have ever bought cashmere. If you bought cashmere at one time or another, he may come after you and decide that you're working against the greater good of the world. You have to remember, that was often the kind of rhetoric that Adolf Hitler was using. Was the trying to build a better race. He was trying to launch us into the next evolution of man. And he was trying to get rid of elements that he felt curtailed that. You know, the Jews being the primary target he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. Now, people are so much more capable of getting this done and of rounding up whoever they wish. And that's why, probably the biggest reason why, I'm a proponent of decentralized government, that I have come to the realization that government should be in the hands of individual families to govern their family, and that that there really shouldn't be any compulsion on the family. And I know the first thing is to say, well, what about horrible families? What about, you know, abuse and neglect that come from families? And you go, the best we can hope to do is, number one, help each other. You know, within our individual groups of families, churches, communities, neighborhoods, that we can try to ensure that nobody is going hungry, that everyone has a place to go. That you create a haven for your family, and that it is not a walled place. It is a place where friends and neighbors can come to find solace, to help meet their needs, to help repair what's wrong. That most of these things, true mental illness is extremely rare. True mental illness that brings someone to violence, that kills people, it does things like that, is truly very rare. And we all need to do a better job of opening ourselves up to other people, to inviting them in. Helping each other out, you know, parents helping other parents, that most of the abuse and the neglect that we see today is because of isolation and feeling like there's no place to turn, feeling like we have to battle things alone, and that if you didn't hear those, you know, if everybody had somebody to turn to, we wouldn't see the atrocities. It's not that the world would be a beautiful and marvelous and you know, there would be no mental illness. Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's doing that. We just wouldn't have the horrible things happening that are being caused by, I think, isolated. That's not my problem, sort of attitude. And that we don't hand this over to a government that will evaluate us, catalog us, put us into a database, not do much else, and give fodder for the tyrant. To have the easy ability to round us up and destroy us. And come out with this wonderful justification of why he's doing it. You know, I could already see a lot of people being rounded up because they were child services database. That would be an easy first thing to look at. Says, look, a tyrant doesn't even need access, doesn't even need it to pick up all the sexual perverts, all the accused child predators. And chances are, if he rounded all them up and gassed them, people would cheer. People would cheer those deaths. And that would be the solidifying of their power. Oh, look what they did. And then they'd do something else that was a little less acceptable. But people would go, hey, you know, we let him kill all the child predators. Why are we getting weird about people who got turned in for possibly child abuse and child neglect? That would take me. I've been turned in by one of my kindly neighbors who, instead of helping, decided to report. And, you know, no good friend there. And trust me, when they say, oh, don't worry, you're only on the system for a couple of years, that's not true. That is a Pollyannish thing being put out there. You know that when you get put on a database, it's permanent, and they do backups, and they're going to pull from that, especially when they get this weird zero population growth. Be under their bonnet. There's plenty of people who think we should have zero population growth, and a very effective way of getting that done is the elimination of undesirable elements. You're not a person anymore, you are now an element. And it's an easy road to getting you pulled in to getting this done. So it still comes up with the basic question I have. Does this legislation serve to empower the next Hitler? And like I said, you know, I know that's less and less relevant as time goes on, because our children and our grandchildren, Hitler is such a distant figure that we don't even hardly talk about what happened. Now, I think that's what's being counted on, is that at some certain point they will say, Hitler who? And you go, uh-oh. This is, we have lost one of our effective tools. It's pointing at the last tyrant. The Constitution, to a large extent, was a document following the Declaration of Independence, which justified the revolution, tried to justify the revolution. Did a pretty good job, I think. The Constitution was an attempt to ensure that there would not be another King George over this land. And most people say, who's King George? And you go, well, he was the British king when all this stuff happened and the American colonies broke away. Compared to the kind of measures that we live under now, the things that instigated the American Revolution are tiny. If you thought it was a tax revolt, you would absolutely laugh at the amount of tax that was collected. It was so infinitesimally small compared to what people are accustomed to paying now that you might think it's some strange joke. But what the Constitution basically tried to codify was the attempt to make sure that we never had another tyrant. I equate the Constitution to, and this is a Mormon concept, so I know it's a little confusing to some people. In Mormon thought, when Moses came down the first time out of the mountain, hefting tablets, that there was a different law written on it than the second time, you know, when he broke the first set of tablets, there was a different law written on, a higher law. And because the Israelites had so quickly fallen to debauchery and everything else, that God's prophet threw out those laws and said, Father, we need more basic laws for these people. I find the Constitution to be a lower law, honestly. I'm not going to sit here and praise the Articles of Confederation because I don't know enough about them to be able to make a judgment call, nor do I want to spend the time on it. There's more important things to be done. But you could equate that attitude, that more decentralized, that more we're going to have to trust each other more, to the Articles of Confederation, that the attitude of people was such that they wanted no centralized government, or a very weak one, because they wanted to ensure that there could never be anything like King George again, an all-powerful person that could just, with a swipe of a pen, make things happen in his colonies. You know, the Parliament didn't have authority, particularly, over most of the Crown's colonies all over the world, whether it was the American colonies, what ultimately became the Canadian ones, things like that. Those were ostensibly simply the possessions of the king, and he could do whatever he wished. He did not have to get things vetted through a parliament. And at that first effort, those first Articles of Confederation were probably, and I seem to recall from what little I read about them, because we didn't study them too terribly much in school, it was a real visceral reaction to making sure that nobody would have anything approaching that kind of power. And apparently, it couldn't be done. The states bickered, The states bickered amongst themselves and couldn't. And it seemed to fall apart because they couldn't come to any kind of a consensus. about it. So, like Moses throwing down those rules and saying, you guys aren't worthy of this, and going back up and getting a lesser law, which what we have today is the Ten Commandments. So I think that was almost what happened, and the Constitution was actually having to make a strong central government. But that things were put in place to try to curtail the kind of tyranny that they still saw under King George. You know, that feeling was still there. It wasn't that it went away, but that they were having to try and find another way of doing it. And I'm not saying the Articles of Confederation were superior. I don't know that. But we also know that no piece of paper, no mere constitution, no matter how finely worded, no matter how well crafted, can prevent, can keep evil grasping people from twisting things, from basically just ignoring constitutional concepts. And that as a people, at least for the people living in the United States of America, we are a failure. We are a failed state. And as we slouch around, letting, you know, having evil run amok in the halls of power, we are sadly coming to the point to where we would welcome anybody, and someday that will be a terrible tyrant, and that we have so empowered the office of, say, the president, for instance, that tyrants are attracted to the post. I don't know if there really is a conspiracy, like a smoke-filled room of people who are saying, now you do this, and you do this, and we're going to craft it this way, and we're going to do this and this, and the whole point is to gain great power. The result is as much like that, you know. In fact, I think it's a little detrimental to call it a conspiracy, because one would think that if you eliminated a person here, a man there, a woman there, that the conspiracy would fall apart and we would all of a sudden be freed. And I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's how this thing is structured. That most of the stuff going on, most of the building up toward the great tyranny to come, handing the reins of power to the next Hitler, I think is being done by somewhat isolated individuals who are working toward their own political gain, their own aggrandizement. But if there's anything happening, it is Satan, the devil, some larger evil entity that we really can't get to. You know, nobody is going to kill off Satan if you have any concept of that. And you might as well, because it's useful. Even if you don't believe in God, don't believe in Satan, you know what? The concepts are useful. And to tell people that there aren't any such things, once again, plays into the hands of the next Hitler. So I wish that would be the thought process in everybody's mind as they go forward, as they legislate, whether it be on a weapons ban, whether it be on desiring personal liberty, whether it be on any of these things, is what I'm doing playing into the hands, strengthening, giving more power to the next Hitler. And if it does, you must say no. And I know I've struggled here to try to figure out how you could still let government have a little power in breaking apart families, in taking away children, and doing things like that. And I think in retrospect, I just have to say, we'll have to handle those kinds of circumstances by imploring people, by being friends, by opening our homes to children, by doing all these things. And that's going to be your answer to those kinds of things that say we have to have a huge and powerful government, because only by doing that can we stop, you know, the isolated person by person atrocities that go on. That are now being used to feed a larger and more intrusive government that we ultimately, we will bow before Satan himself and say, please take what we have built and please make us be good. And he will pat us on the head and tell us how wonderful he will be while he destroys every one of us with glee and happiness, knowing that we have turned from anything good. I remember writing an essay about the Antichrist, about whether Barack Obama was the Antichrist, and how people see the Antichrist being some powerful, towering figure that will take power. And you go, I don't think so. I think the Antichrist is like the Antipope, that it becomes a question of allegiance. What are you allied with? Where do you put your allegiance? Who do you put your allegiance in? And that person, whether they say they are or not, whether they are grasping power or whether it's laid before them by a begging constituency, that's an antichrist too. Because Christ is, the concept of Christ, I think, is a two-part thing. There is the obvious part, that is his power and his glory and the great things he has done. But also, the other power of Christ is the allegiance others give to that person. Christ isn't just Christ because he died on the cross, for instance. Let's put this in Christian parlance for the audience. Christ isn't just Christ because he died for our sins. He isn't just Christ because he conquered death and conquered sin. He is also Christ because people follow him and follow his commandments and do what he says. And that's just as powerful as what he did. Because all those things that he did, conquering death and conquering sin, and teaching as powerfully as he did, is all of no avail if each one of us don't access it. But that's our choice. That's our agency. That's what we put into the whole mix. Because Christ will not force us. He is not a tyrant. He is not a man of force. He is a man of invitation. He is a man of did I say invitation? He is a man of cajoling. He is a man of a persuasion. And that's what we have to be too. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, when it would be easier to say, that family's broken, let's institute governmental power to be able to tear that family apart and put the constituent pieces where we think they will best go, they will best be served. It's tempting. It's tempting, but it is force. And force is on the very height of it, satanic. Satan's plan from the beginning was to force this, was to have power and glory come to him, because he would make us do the right thing. He would force us to become the kind of people we need to be. And when looked at in that context, almost every government we have is designed after the satanic pattern. And that it is incumbent upon us. These governments are constructs that we put together, or that we allowed to be put together. And we are beholden to government to obey the laws that we have, but we are also empowered to speak out against it. To strive for reform. God blesses revolutions. I think that was abundantly clear in the American Revolution, when the colonies along the eastern seaboard of what's now the United States pulled away from England and fought off the British army. That was miraculous. The timing was perfect. It shouldn't have worked at all. Further evidence that this was God. This was God in the mix. And that he supports the downfall or the throwing off the chains of bondage, the tyranny of giants. That's redundant, but I guess it works at a certain level. These things are supported by God. And that's why, even more strongly than I was yesterday and the day before, when it comes to the concept of the ascended family, when it comes to the concept of families being independent and sovereign, that's even more necessary. Even if many families are broken, even if many families can't be as self-sufficient as we would like them to be, or don't choose to be as self-sufficient as we would like them to be, that even in spite of that, we cannot, through large or even small intrusive government, we cannot interfere with it. We cannot interfere with that. We can only seek to, as neighbors, as friends, as extended family, probably the most powerful force, I think, is extended family for the I don't know if you call it the cajoling, for the effort of trying to help your family do better and come together better. But that's the only instrumentality that should ever be used in order to do this. And that this should stand as government. And of course, what I've talked about before, the building up of alliances, the building up of associations to handle larger issues that are best handled by the larger group, whether it is the locality for things like infrastructure, hospitals, things that only really work on a larger scale that needs to be handled by an association. But knowing that it's a free association, that you are not compelled to be beholden to that. Except, I don't know, hospitals are pretty darn important. Everybody ends up needing them at one point or another. So, and you're always going to help people you want people to always be doing that, but you also want those people to contribute too. But yeah, you can't do it by force. You only should do it by cajoling. Not to hand over sovereignty to anybody outside of the family. And to constantly work to strengthen and make better the family. Efforts to do anything else to a certain extent are wasted breath. To where we try to force people to behave in certain ways. Better do it the other way. Better to have something more in the lines of the Articles of Confederation than to have a centralized power that you hope will not use its power to become tyrannical. I think experience has shown us that it can't be done. That even if you do founding documents, even if you straightly charge everyone involved that they have to abide the Constitution and defend it, that they aren't going to. And that we cannot trust power to large entities, period. That it is family or it is nothing. And that is, it is through the power of free association that larger entities exist at all. That roads get made, that electricity is generated and transmitted to the people, that hospitals are built. These are the kinds of things that's really going to be the only mechanism that really ends up working. And I know they say, well, it won't ever happen because we can't get everybody together. And you go, then some people won't be part of it. Your hospital will be taking care of people that don't support it. And when they come in because they were torn up in an accident, and they spit and claw at you to leave them alone because they don't want to have anything to do with that hospital. But you just have to understand that's just what you're going to have to deal with. And there's no instrumentality through which you can stop them from doing that, through which you can turn them into more decent people. That is going to be their own choice, their own access to a greater good, to a God. Of whatever build they seem to be hankering for, that's going to have to be your only access to try to appeal to their better nature. And that you're going to have to do it over and over and over again. And that society may very well be more disorderly because of that. But that we just have to simply give this. We have to simply work toward it and commit ourselves to such things. Because as you can see, every effort we make on a large scale becomes fodder for tyranny. It falls in that trap, whatever kind of justification there ends up being, no matter how beautiful it sounds, no matter how many promises are made. That this stuff won't be used for evil. But you can guarantee that it will be. It will be. And putting it, you know, if you don't want information getting into the hands of the next Hitler, don't collect it. Don't collect it. It's as simple as that. And I know that flies in the face of well, then how will we know? How will we regulate? How will we do this? How will we do that? Because my answer is basically don't. Is you won't. You won't be able to. And that you're simply going to have to deal with that on a certain level. You know, I am... Our current government, at least in the United States, and I'm sure in other countries too, many other countries too, seems to find most of its justification in the protection of large corporations and making it so that they can more easily get the profits that they need. There are good sides to this, of course. You know, the economics of scale tend to drive down the cost of these sorts of things, but it doesn't take into account the basic cost of what's to come. Lost liberty. It's almost like, yeah, I'll agree to take cheap goods, knowing that sometime in the future all that money will be exacted from me in spades. As those same entities are used to oppress me. And we will have destroyed every other ability to do things. Okay. Hours up, I'm sure. And so that's it for this one. Need to upload this stuff. Come on. Talk later.